I haven't told you yet about how this Psalm 51 study began. I owe this to Dr. Mack, one of my lifelong mentors, as you know, and whom the Lord brought here to South Africa about 15 years ago, and has been up in Pretoria, going, still serving the Lord, in well into his 80s now. And he asked me to speak at one of our annual ACBC, Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. Our annual ACBC Africa Conference in Pretoria. And I believe he was the one that gave me this title, How to Get Up When You've Fallen. And that got me into Psalm 51, and which was a one or two part seminar a few years ago. And that led to a multi-part, three-part sermon at Antioch. And so that was the study that the Lord led me to, and I learned so much from. I'm grateful for the opportunity Dr. Matt gave. How to Get Up When You've Fallen. True, biblical, godly, lasting repentance, not the false, fake, shallow, superficial, pseudo repentance that we've all seen and all been guilty of at times that bears no lasting fruit, or doesn't bring real transformation in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. So we have been looking at the four major sections in Psalm 51. Trust you have your Bible open in front of you there. First of all, confession, verses 1 to 9. Then we looked at restoration. We're finishing that second section here in verses 10 to 13. David cries out for a clean heart, a steadfast spirit, God's presence. And all the more we know, don't we? Verse 11, in Christ, this side of the cross, in the new covenant, we have not only God with us, but God in us by his Holy Spirit. And for the true believer, that can never be lost. And then David prays for the joy of the salvation in verse 12 and a willing spirit. And look now at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. I mean, how great is the grace of God, turning an adulterer and a murderer, King David, into an evangelist and a teacher. David's saying, I can't keep these great truths to myself. I must go and tell others that they might enjoy the relief and the healing that my soul has known. Commonly, it's believed that what David says here is exactly what Psalm 32 is about, which he wrote sometime after his initial repentance here in Psalm 51. Psalm 32, turn over there for a minute. You got to see this. Psalm 32 is called a maskil, in other words, instruction. And it begins with the same three words for sin that Psalm 51 begins with. Listen to Psalm 32. Probably what David meant when he says, I'll teach transgressors your ways. I'll pass on what the Lord has taught me through my failure and disobedience. And in terms of what godly repentance looks like, Psalm 32, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. There's those same three words for sin in Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. This is the greatest satisfaction, the deepest joy. This is the man most to be envied, the blessedness of sin forgiven, in whose spirit there's no deceit. Verse 3, David says, when I kept silent about my sin, have you ever been in this place? I know I have. My body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess the transgression, my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, watch this. This is a great turning point in Psalm 32. As a result of true repentance, deep confession, and real forgiveness of the Lord. Verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach you. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. Now it's the Lord speaking. Verse 8, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Makes you think of back in verse 8, let the bones you have broken now rejoice, from Psalm 51. It's been said Psalm 32 is all about what we cover, God will uncover, but what we uncover, God covers. True repentance and confession that lead to real cleansing and forgiveness. Look back at Psalm 51, verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. How many countless conversions and restorations has Psalm 51 led to? Christian, what is your story of grace to tell others? People don't just need a dictionary of doctrine or a textbook theology of grace. They need to hear and see your story of grace, like David told his, like the Gerasene demoniac that Jesus delivered and unshackled and liberated and set him free. And he was gloriously saved. And then Mark chapter 5 concludes, Jesus said to him, or that story concludes in the middle of Mark 5, go and tell your own what the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Christian, how are you stewarding your story of the amazing grace God has shown you? Don't hog it. Don't just keep it to yourself. Verse 13, teach transgressors God's ways so other sinners can be converted to him. God is still in the business of rescuing the lost, of converting the unconverted, of turning back perishing sinners who are rushing headlong into destruction, hell-bent, and on the broad road that leads to destruction. But our God is a saving God. For this we labor and strive, said the Apostle Paul, because God is the Savior of all, especially those who believe. His gospel is powerful and mighty to save, and he uses instruments like you and me and our feeble mouths to convert lost sinners. Isaac Watts says of this verse, then I will teach the world thy ways. Sinners shall learn thy sovereign grace. I'll lead them to my Savior's blood, and they shall praise a pardoning God.